the Scariest Things Podcast, gateway to the trends and tropes of the horror genre. Episode 91, Part 2, The Scaredy Cat Challenge, in which we subject two of our friends who are afraid of horror movies, who do not like scary movies, but like our podcast, to actually have to watch horror movies. So that's been a bit of good, wicked fun. I'm your host, Eric Lee, and I am joined, as usual, by Mike Campbell and Liz Williams. And our guinea pigs for this exercise are our friends Dan Bradbury and Mike Halstead. And I think despite the fact that they were afraid of horror movies, they were both game to participate. And the episode ran for a very long time, so we split this into two episodes. And in this half, we're going to get to listen to Dan and Mike explain what it's like to go through Bridge Too Far movies, or movies that are scary enough to make Liz, Mike, and I maybe not want to watch it. I still haven't watched one of these movies because I'm too much of a chicken. But it's been great because both Dan and Mike were willing to watch all nine of the movies, or they tried to, and we'll get to see how they fared. Anyway, so we're going to join this this podcast midstream. Here we go.
All right. So now we get to the fateful point.
We're getting real now.
Where now, this you guys can leave the room.
Guys, I only got just full disclosure. I only did 1.5 of these, and it wasn't even 1.5.
Which ones did you catch, Mike?
Oh, I like it.
So let's Mike. Why don't we start with yours and see which if these.
Let's see if this is the half or the one or the none. Yeah. Half, one, or none. All right. This is the 2013 American cannibal horror film directed by Eli Roth. Good news for you guys. On September 2013, it was announced a sequel was going to be produced titled Beyond the Green Inferno. Bad news, as of 2016, there had been no further updates about
Thank
Beyond
you, Jesus.
The Green Inferno. So Green Inferno, of course, is a film that we've talked about a couple episodes ago. We did a whole episode. If you guys want to dive deeper into the world of cannibals,
I'm shaking, dude. I hate this. But let's proceed.
This was of course an homage to the Italian cannibal horror films from the 70s and 80s, which became so familiar to many grindhouse audience goers. Of course, Cannibal Holocaust we talked about, Cannibal Ferox, Eric mentioned. This basically follows the same general shtick. It's somewhat, it's kind of a twist on the found footage construct that a lot of those films leaned on. What did you guys think of The Green Inferno?
Boo. Boo. So here's the thing. I watched the other Eli Roth film first.
Yep. Oh.
I watched Hostel before I watched
interesting.
Green Inferno.
So you were Eli Roth down.
I already knew, in fact, I kind of pinned myself up against the deadline here because I was like, oh, wait, I gotta really go for this.
Yeah.
And you know, I was so confident, like, oh yeah, you know, Dan's gonna knock these nine out. I got no problem. I can do that. I can do that. And then I found myself, oh yeah, I'm busy. I kept putting it off.
Yep.
I watched Hostel just a few nights ago.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get to that.
Okay, yes, we will.
But the thing is that I knew Eli Roth now. I'd been introduced.
You knew what was what.
And I watched Green Inferno. And then as soon as we got to the meat, I was like,
nice pun.
I am completely out. I'm out. I can't do that.
This was your half.
Was the half.
This is my half. Yeah, this is my half.
You don't know how it ended.
Well,
that's okay.
Really okay. You don't. Bridge too far.
Well,
you turn back.
This is a bridge too far. Look, it stopped at a severed eyeball. That's where it stopped.
Sure.
Yeah. That's where I was like,
too much.
Well, no. You know what? It wasn't that it was too much. It was that, oh, this is the appetizer. This is the appetizer. Do you want the full meal? And I'm like, no,
right.
I do not want the full meal. And my kid, it was really funny. I was talking to my kid. I'm like, she's like, so you can watch another horror movie tonight? And I'm like, yeah. What should it be? Should it be cannibalism, or cannibalism? And she said, daddy, why are you doing this to yourself?
I heard a lot of that during the last month.
I have not much to say about
it. I was offended at Green Inferno, but maybe not for the reasons you would think. I won't talk about the entire Bridge Too Far tier quite yet, but this one was the first Bridge Too Far movie I watched. This was number two. I watched Let the Right One, and then I went on just to tier three. Take a bite out of it, as it were.
one big fleshy bite.
What bothered me about the film was when they fly down to South America,
right.
Central America, that there's a moment in the film where I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is an actual tribe. Like, I don't think they could pull this off in Hollywood.
Right.
That was certainly true of the Italian films of the 80s. They would hire tribal people, and which also made you feel kind of oogie because...
I'm not so sure about that. Yeah, we don't have to get too PC in a horror film discussion. I thought that's a bridge. That was my bridge too far.
Yeah,
apparently it wasn't the cannibalism.
Right.
I did watch the whole thing. This one was so over the top in terms of the cannibalism that's where it detaches for me, and I can watch it. Like Eric knows, I'll go watch Transformers at the theater. You know, I'll watch some bad stuff.
Right.
Some real horrific.
But don't you think that cinema was kind of an interesting... I thought that was an interesting play, though, where he was purposely playing on the whole PC culture.
Right.
And he sort of introduces that nugget into it to twist it around on itself.
How can one individual have so much contempt in their body? Oh my God, Eli Roth, please.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't know, I hadn't seen an Eli Roth film. Sure. And this was my first take on it.
You said that you liked the disaster movies. He's got one called Aftershock your bag.
Aftershock's not bad.
What's that one set?
It's Chile. Mexico. Yeah.
It's Chile.
Okay. Chile. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll try one of his disaster movies. Because I was gonna claim there is no reason for me to ever see an Eli Roth. So I appreciate that.
Well, there's another one
thank you so much.
There's one that you could see with your kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
A House with a Clock in the Walls.
Just came out last year.
Fun. It's a lot of fun. But
I'm questioning his decision making in general here. So I don't even know if I want to support.
Right. Because it's like pure misanthropy. At least what I saw. Like.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I read about it later and what actually unfolded in terms of them going down, finding a tribe that had never even seen cinema before. Then they showed them. The precursor to this, you mentioned it earlier.
Oh, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah. The tribe thought it was funny, according to Wikipedia or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so they decided to join. I thought it was a little bit of cultural
misappropriation,
or exploitation. Yeah, but that being said, I also felt, and I don't watch enough horror films, so I don't know which actors or actresses make the rounds. But I was really digging the roommate.
None of these guys did anything else of note.
Well, I really like the
main character girl married Eli Roth and showed up in some of his other stuff.
Oh, geez, yeah, there you go. No, yeah. So the university roommate didn't go down to South America, and I was excited to see her down there, and that she got dropped from the movie about 15, 20, 30 minutes in.
Right.
No, it was. I thought it was well filmed. I mean, if you're going to chop some limbs, I mean, whoa, set them up on a rock. And, I don't know, because we have another cannibal movie here.
Yeah,
this was my preferred cannibal movie.
Oh, okay, all right.
Just so you guys know, when we talked about cannibal stuff, this was one of Campbell's selections. I have not seen Green Inferno.
It was mine.
And I don't know that I'm going Green to see Inferno. Green Inferno.
I had seen Eric shortly after watching Green Inferno, and I was really concerned for you, Mike. That was
on Netflix, by the way. Like my kid might hit the wrong button and be scarred for
They need a passcode on that one.
Yes. Oh, good God.
Oh, they're going to take a trip down to South America. That's so cool.
Let's stay with Eli Roth, and we'll Liz, why don't you introduce the other Eli Roth film that we want to talk about?
I think that Eli Roth, if you're listening, you should be proud that two of us put your films in the Bridge Too Far section. Yeah. And also that he would be flattered by the offense you took to the Green Inferno, because I think that was probably his raison d'etre for that film. Also, speaking of like culturally insensitive, I picked 2005's Hostel, which the people of Slovakia and the Czech Republic did not love.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're seeing a theme with
more cultural appropriate or whatever you want to call it, cultural exploitation.
Those dirty Eastern Europeans are going to
be. Oh, my God.
I think one of our biggest Facebook fans is Romanian, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'll do a shout out for him at the very end here.
Yeah, I picked this one because while not a Bridge Too Far for me, this is on my top 25 and one of my favorites. This kind of was the big one when that term torture porn started getting thrown around and applied to every movie that came out. So while a lot of people think this movie is pure torture porn, I think it's kind of the beginning of that. And I think it's actually a really good and excellent film that just shows what Eli Roth was trying to do. Was he was like, people, when like the Slovakian government like spoke out against this, he's like, I didn't make this about Slovakia. Americans don't even know what country this is. It's showing how like oblivious to the rest of the world Americans are, especially when traveling. So also that was kind of his point for doing it. So Eli Roth has, he's like a little onion. He's got some layers. They might not look like it, but this is one of my favorites. So interesting to see what you guys think.
Liz, the rest of that quote I love too from Eli Roth, which was he said, they made a film called Texas Chainsaw. People still go to Texas.
Oh, people still go to Texas. Yes.
Good point.
Do they?
Good point.
I don't know. Do they really?
Liz, I detested this movie. I detested it. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, the name of it is great. I'm thinking again, English lit dude, Hostel. Oh yeah, it's a play on words. It's a place where you stay abroad, and also it's just hostile in general. Hostile, I guess. But like, it brought out the worst in me. Like as soon as these douchebags showed up, two American douchebags and the Icelandic idiot show up, the gears in my mind are like, I want all these people dead, all of them.
Right.
And if they get tortured, cool, man. As soon as humanly possible, it brought out like the absolute worst in me. I think that's fair enough.
The director, Rob Zombie, does that for me, where you hate the protagonist, hate the antagonist, you hate everybody in the movies.
I wanted the little kids
it's a staple of
dead.
Torture porn. Yeah,
well, with the little gum chewing.
Yeah,
I hated them too.
out of the Bridge Too Far movies, this was my favorite. But to be clear, I will not watch another Hostel movie.
There's two more waiting for you. Two more. Hostel 2, Hostel 3.
Well, I almost appreciated it.
Hostel 2 is girls. That's pretty much the difference. Okay. Girl travelers.
So it'll be a lot better.
Well, I think that was my favorite because of the lack of care for the protagonist. And it was a little bit more like a carnival ride where I just could sit back and enjoy it. Enjoy would be the wrong word. I don't. I didn't have to. I think that's where I get so emotionally invested in these characters, and then when they're getting mutilated, penetrated, ripped apart. That concerns me. That's what really bothers me. That's where the lump in the stomach.
Right.
And I'd say all three of the Bridge Too Far movies. There was points where I did have to look away or pause the movie for a moment so as not to vomit on my carpet.
right.
Those did push me too far. So, this is one where I appreciate watching it. Don't want to see another one. Don't want to see it again. But at least I could kind of enjoy it like a like a roller coaster.
Well, and this is why I didn't follow up with Green Inferno, because I knew what I was going to get. So because I watched Hostel, I'm like, no, I know where this is headed.
Right.
And I can't do
right.
it. But the thing about, I mean, I watched Hostel and there were times that I laughed. There were times when...
you cried.
No, but like, but you know, you said torture porn, and the funny part is that porn, kind of like regular porn, kind of plays a role in this movie. Like, they have sex right. bumped up against violence so closely, yeah. so very closely.
Well, and the desensitization too of just yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I think I read somewhere after this that they actually show a bit of a porn movie that is a parody of another Eli Roth film, if I'm incorrect. Find that bit of trivia out, because there's actually a parody film.
Just watch it again.
A movie within a movie. I read
that
somewhere.
That's coming up in Sexy Horror.
Yeah.
An upcoming episode.
Nothing sexier than a porn
Porn and torture.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that because when I'm watching a film, I'm sinking into it, trying to get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, does this exist out here? Do we have, you know... East European, Asian, Southern, Southeast United States locations,
right,
where people are able to pay a certain amount to find themselves a Texan. I want to torture.
We can only imagine.
I mean, the market.
Yeah,
has
like
its
legend.
I thought this out of most of them was a little. Like this could actually be happening
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
That's maybe where I found it pretty disturbing.
It could.
I think we've found out that we're willing to put babies in cages.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Ooh, oh,
I took a.
Whoa,
yeah, no.
This is getting dark.
Yeah. And Midsummer is Bernie Sanders America. I'm kidding. No, but I did, Liz, I'm so glad that you love this movie and that there are people out there that love this movie, but I got kind of angry at parts of it. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, some of the Eurotrash sluts were so over the top Eurotrash. It was just like, there was no sympathy mm-hmm. for anyone. Even the little gum chewing
right.
kids were thugs that would beat you to death. Like, nobody, even the children are awful.
There wasn't a lot to
love. And there
love.
Wasn't
no.
anything to hold
no.
on to. You know?
No.
That's, yeah, for me it was just raw, gory entertainment.
Well,
yeah.
You know, which is interesting, because this is one of Eric's number one rules. It is your number one
it
rule.
It is my number one rule.
You have
yeah.
to care about the protagonist, and I think it's so interesting mm-hmm. about Hostel is not only do you not, you don't care about anybody, let alone the protagonist.
He might have been the douchiest of the three.
But really what you're watching for in the film is, are these people going to make it out alive? I don't even care about
no.
them,
yeah.
but I just
yeah.
want to even. I just want to know: that, are they going to make it?
That destroys and it throws the narrative out the window for me at that point.
Right, well, but I think that's what brings it back in. For me.
I was
yeah.
I was hoping that mm-hmm. Eli Roth would have this like moment at the end of Hostel where, you know, our protagonist or quote unquote protagonist.
Right.
And the Japanese woman with one eye get on the train, and they have this like graduate moment where they're in the and they're looking
yeah.
at each other like, hey, that was wild. This is wild, right? You know, they just have a quiet moment together.
Elaine.
Yeah. Well, but if a benchmark for being a horror film is care for protagonists, I don't think. Either
none of the three,
you know, I wouldn't say Green Inferno. I maybe cared for the guy that got hacked up at the beginning, you know, at the first.
No, like, that guy was loathsome. Like, he was I identified with that guy, but it was all the things that he was like so fake sensitive.
He was pretty pathetic, and
he was.
The rest of them I just kind of thought were irritating, but. We'll soon get to Eric's pick.
Well, let's go there.
Yep.
So, and I didn't see it, so I'm out.
So
I'm
now,
out.
Here, question for Mike and Liz. Have you seen The Farm yet?
I have not.
No.
But, Eric, before we get into The Farm, I looked at a bunch of reviews for The Farm.
Okay.
And these were the reviews. Worst horror movie ever.
Wow.
Biggest piece of garbage I've ever seen. Just... No.
Just
a horror movie that has no horror. Is this a vegan movie? stupid and nonsense. One scene upset me so much, I turned it off. And finally, the farm. Boo.
Well, Eric, what was your take on it?
Well, let me, I can, let's see. Let me go to my...
Go to the farm bot.
Now, one thing that we have to put into account here is this is a movie that's very important to The Scariest Things. Because it is, we keep getting...
It generates about 70% of our traffic to the website.
We're the number one reviewed site because of my early... Because I saw this, I saw the world premiere of The Farm at the Overlook Film Festival with about 30 or 40 other people in the audience and the director in the back.
Well, in my,
you are the second review to come up that's not IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes. Those are always at the top. Are... The second one, Bloody Disgusting, and then Eric's from Scariest Things.
We'll get 15 to 20 hits a day.
All the people looking for keep after it, man.
All right.
But the farm, bravo. So, I'm not surprised you picked it. I mean, if there's a bridge too far, this one was surely in that category. But
I did watch the trailer, and I thought, I'm going to pass.
It wasn't the hardest of the three to watch.
Really?
In that,
what was the hardest?
Well, because
of the three?
it was the third. I watched this one 2 days ago. I watched this one Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah, two days ago.
You were good and desensitized by this.
Yeah, I mean, I hear where you're. Mm-hmm. It was. I think just the name of the film, you kind of knew what was going on. I mean, it was pretty.
Right.
You know, how many times have we seen a film, horror or otherwise, where it's people on maybe on a vacation? I don't know what they were on. They didn't explain that.
Right.
Where it's a handsome man and a beautiful woman that are a little bit at odds with each other, and they're on a car trip.
They're on a road trip, and it's
road
like
trip in it.
And it was like they're debating whether they want to stop or keep going.
Right.
And they pull off.
And there's a fun, this weird town. I mean, right away, right? You drive away. You don't get gas in the weird town.
Right.
You certainly don't stay the night at a...
And the burgers that don't look quite like burgers.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, where did the burgers come from?
And so, you know, the reviews are probably spot on in terms of how my feelings about it. I thought it was an overt vegan film or something, you know. And honestly, it didn't show... a tremendous amount of gore. I think
they took a baby and slammed it into an anvil.
That will do it.
well,
a lot of it was these long
people
scenes.
People get milked in this, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah.
There was
insemination. but less about. I don't recall. Like they were carrying around bags of arms. Place to place.
Well,
and very long, drawn out.
There was a butchering scene.
So at some point in the movie, it left horror, and it was more of like I was kind of fascinated with how organized this farm was and their operations.
Right.
Can I
so
ask
clinical a, and.
I didn't see this movie because that I was.
Did you watch the trailer?
I was all cannibaled out. No, I am going to watch the trailer. I did read those reviews, by the way, kind of like sent me like no. But were the humans cage free and did they have antibiotics?
So that was,
that's the question. I looked at the poster and I thought, this is like the cannibal version of a Portland farm to table restaurant. I mean, that's kind of what I was going at. Like, are these humans organic?
I expected more of like a dirty, gritty, you know, not, you know, it's like a weird bro and his cousin or something, and that's not what it was. It was a very well organized community that harvests people
and they wear
farms
animal masks,
yeah.
Which is I think one of the things that drove me crazy about this movie was that the villains wore these animal masks that they were these, you know, if you've ever tried to wear those Halloween plastic Halloween masks, you cannot see out of them.
No.
And so it's automatically cutting your senses off, and if you're trying to chase someone through a meadow, it's like, take the mask off.
Wasn't there a movie called, and which is a movie that I avoided?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Called like The Strangers or something,
yes,
where they were all wearing masks like this. I feel like
Your Next is the animal mask. The Strangers are a baby doll mask, a burlap sack,
One
of them's an animal.
But all three of these movies on this Bridge Too Far, I have to be in the horror genre. They have, you know, they are a bridge too far. To me, they were not scary. They didn't, they, you know, it was that intense middle tier that really got me going. Yeah. Got the blood pressure, got the heart rate going. Yeah. Those are the ones that I'm willing to maybe watch down the road. But it would be, as a fan of your podcast, it will be based on what I hear what you guys say about them.
Right.
and frankly, that is how I've been choosing my movies, I listen to your top 2019, your worst stuff. I'll stay away from the worst. I'll go to the best, and I'll pick and choose based on your comments. But sometimes you'll see a
worst on one of our lists, that happens to be a best on one of the others.
Well, on occasion.
I think that I think that you hit on something there where those mid-tier really exploited my psychology. They messed with my mind. Where Hostel didn't really mess with my mind, it was just brutal and violent. But I guess I didn't feel scared.
I don't want to watch that.
It was just more misery. I was just like, oh, man, sucks for you, dude.
Yeah. And then luckily, Mike.
Yes.
I'm no longer worried about you. I'm worried about Eric.
You know, and talking about a well-oiled community, we did go off script here with Midsommar.
We did. Right.
And we have a community, and there's some – that is – we have to talk about that movie. I love that movie. I watched it last night.
Oh, did you? Was that the first time you had seen it?
First time I'd seen it. Interesting. I knew it played at the Hollywood a while back, but that the lines were too long. And that is actually kind of a movie that I would entertain, maybe. When I watch the trailer, you know, there's that horrible, disfigured, inbred person.
Which is something of a red herring.
It is.
A total red herring that is not a major part of the movie at all.
Yeah.
But enough to make me go, I'll pass.
Right.
But loved Midsommar. And I think, like you, Dan, Ari Aster.
Yeah.
I think I might be a fan. Like, I might actually go to the theater.
Well, since you have been full of hot takes today, so there's a theory kicking around on the internet about how he's connecting. These are all three connected films, and his third film will connect all this whole.
Am I wrong? And this theory is getting propagated by you, Mike.
The first time
I listened to the podcast after your best of 2019. After watching Hereditary,
right?
And you guys, you talked about Midsommar. I know at least Liz, maybe you brought this was definitely I thought was one of your faves.
Yeah,
and it I just had to see that one. So that I did. I kind of ran home to catch that, and that I thought was a great movie. So what I've discovered, if there is any discovery in this, is that there are directors.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
I trust.
Yep.
That they'll bring me what I'm looking for, which is maybe psychological. Apparently pagan. But mm-hmm. beautifully filmed. A lot of the films I like were newer.
Yeah.
I think it was the cinematography also.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, Oster's got a brilliant camera eye.
Oh my God, yeah. And the sets were brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, beautiful.
And so the next on my list, my hot list would be Us. And that I saw Get Out when it came out in the theater.
Yeah, me too. Or I didn't see it in the theater.
And I'm a Jordan Peele fan.
You'll have to be able to handle some weird abstractions.
Yes.
Because
that was a polarizing film amongst
us. For people who want something that makes a lot of logical sense, this is not a movie for you.
Yeah.
Because there are it's largely about doppelgangers. Where they come from.
Mike can ply his literary sensibilities too. To us.
I think there are
I have no interest in seeing
the literary tradition of Chud.
When he said that this was a real horror movie and that Get Out was not,
right?
I was like, okay, cool, thank you.
I completely. That is why I avoided it until now.
Yeah,
but you guys have given me enough
confidence
that I can at least. Sit through it.
All right.
I'll let Eric know how that goes.
One other thing about
so
Eric wanted to say, well, you know, if you have any nightmares or anything, I do want to say that even though I detested Hostel, of all the films I saw, that was the one where I never really had nightmares, but oh man,
You looked twice. My sleep walking down the
was
street.
Wrecked.
Really?
It was wrecked. Yeah. Hmm. My adrenaline was going. My endorphins were rushed. Whatever you want to call it. That kept me awake for a good 2 hours after I tried to go to sleep.
I would actually suggest my entire month of January was fucked on sleep. I don't recall dreams often, but I do wake up in the night sometimes screaming. And I woke up multiple times. These will.
So if I get an angry call from Brooks.
Oh yeah, no, she was begging for me to stop watching these films because, to be fair, you guys gave us a really gentle.
What was that in your dreams?
That's right.
Yeah.
Stop it!
You know, I was only tasked with 3 movies, and I really wanted to take a big bite out of this.
I really appreciate that you guys took up the spirit. I know. Watching as many movies.
And
as
Dan,
you
watched them all. I mean, I missed a couple. Well, one.
Mike did 5.5.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was. I couldn't do it. Yeah,
or 4.5.
I think a movie that all three Mike, Liz, and I would recommend for if you like the tier two is when The Lodge comes out.
Oh, The Lodge. You know, I've heard.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably pull up. I keep lists.
Because Liz, you've been tracking some of this stuff. Do you know when The Lodge is actually what the release date is?
February. Month. 7th or whatever, so recording weekend. Yeah, it's not in New Orleans, though. I don't know when we're getting it. So I think it's kind of by market.
Do you think it's did they do a day and date streaming release on that? I mean, you can check Amazon.
Check that while we're recommending other stuff. Mike and I will tell you, if you liked Hereditary, watch Kill List.
Oh, yeah.
I think you guys should handle that.
You guys were totally right. Kill List is awesome.
Yeah. Kill List is a British film that came out in 2011. And a lot of people, we've talked about this a bit on the podcast, but a lot of people is like, if you talk about Hereditary, those that truly in the know will say, oh, no, Hereditary is nothing. You need to see Kill List.
All right, do you guys want to hear to watch list, but I made a separate category. None of the other ones are categorized. They're dramas, comedies. Okay. Horror.
Yes.
I just had to Kill List. And you can laugh all you want in here. And I don't even know why I put all these down, but it's from listening to you. So there's something that attracted me, okay? That's all I can say. Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cut of the Dead.
Yeah.
One Cut of the Dead is so fun.
Yeah.
That is very fun.
Daniel is Not Real.
Yes.
The Hole in the Ground.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I put next to it. So something about that one bothered me.
All right, Dan, I need you to send me that list, please.
Okay. The Lodge.
Uh-huh.
Vast of Night.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Little Monsters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Crawl.
Yes. Yes.
Us.
Yes.
Extraordinary.
Big yes.
Ready or Not. And last but not least, Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the ones.
Damn, I don't know any of that.
Watch all those.
I don't watch
all of them.
The only one that I know anything about is Us. Others are totally.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you'd get a kid. Ready or Not was my number one from last year, and that was it's fun. It's a woman trying to avoid getting murdered on her wedding night through a game of hide and go seek with her in-laws.
What's that called?
Ready or Not.
It's fun. Yeah. I just watched that.
Yeah,
finally,
it's relatively light.
Yeah, it was a big budget popcorn film.
It has a spectacularly fun ending.
Yep.
The one thing
in a Victorian mansion.
Don't do any. Don't read any reviews for Kill List before you do it because it's so important you don't know the ending.
Yeah,
I figured I'd just jump in one at a time, indiscriminately, and this will be my 2020, and then I'm gonna have to wait to the end of 2020 for you guys to do your best of 2020,
there you go,
so I can filter out again.
Yeah, so we were gonna close out with. Would you ever watch another horror film? I think we know. Yeah. Dan's answer is clearly yes. He's got a list already prepared.
Yeah, dude.
Mike, would you go out and actively, knowingly see a horror film in the theater?
Something that we have curated.
That is a really good question.
Well, those are two
question.
Very different things. I'll watch anything at home.
What if Mike and Eric bring you together, sit on both sides, you know, make sure.
We will hold your hand. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, yeah. And at key moments in the film, I'll be like, hey, guys, feeling like I need some red vines. I'll be right back in 20 minutes. I feel like this Ari Aster guy, I think I would go see his movies. It's a like, guy, right?
Yeah,
is it a guy?
Yeah, it's a guy.
Yeah, I would see that. Like okay. those two movies really jumped out for me.
Yeah.
And they are not your typical, they are creepy. They're not jump scare right. type stuff. And jump scare type stuff, I'm just like, it just keeps spiking my adrenaline and I just get exhausted watching
right.
them.
Right.
This is just a slow boil.
Oh, yeah.
And things just take a hard, like they don't take hard turns, actually. They take very slow turns.
It's earned.
It's earned, exactly. And so I'm interested in seeing this guy's movie.
More his Ari next Aster. Movie.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah.
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 And yeah. I think to that level, you know, I think The Lodge and Kill List, same kind of a thing. It is yeah. it's heavily involved with character development and relationships and things that just completely destroy relationships.
I yep. also found mm-hmm. Therapeutic, I believe, was after watching Green Inferno. I watched that one at home. It was late afternoon, so it was daylight. I jumped over to the theater and caught 1917.
Oh,
interesting. I was curious about why am I squeamish and can't watch
oh God
your cannibal horror right, movie. Right.
And yet 1917 is a meat grinder.
I can watch plenty of action films and sci-fi films or whatnot that can get pretty violent or
right.
War films.
You play a lot Saving of video Cyber. Games.
I play plenty of video games that are getting these days. They're getting rendered pretty violently,
right?
And I can be glued to those things. Yeah. I can't tell you as I put my finger on why.
Yeah,
but there's a difference.
Oh no, there absolutely is a difference. Yeah. There absolutely
well,
is.
Something also, that fear part of the brain, that frontal lobe. I don't.
Yeah. That. Well, and I think it's the sort of the motivation behind the killing, and you know, in the case of 1917, it's got sort of like an honorable note attached to the motivation, whereas with Hostel,
it's historic.
Has nothing honorable about yeah. it.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. this makes me think about how certain genre movies, if they like a hybrid type movie, like say Alien or right. Aliens, mm-hmm. I will tolerate that so well, even though there's as much blood and gore in it as it your maybe your average horror movie of
I
the time.
I enjoyed Prometheus.
Wow. Yeah, I had thoughts about Prometheus, but like,
not a good movie, but it didn't scare me.
No, it didn't scare you. And so some of these hybrid movies where there's sci-fi and horror mixed. Or if there's comedy and horror mixed, like I did, I think I watched Cabin in the Woods at the theater, which was kind of brave.
Right,
for me.
Right, right.
But I could handle it because it had enough slapstick stuff that I could deal with it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But not true horror, really.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I will avoid the It sequels.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
My son will have to get old enough to go see those
yeah.
without me.
On his own. On his own.
Sorry, Peter.
If, all right. Well,
and if you yeah, want to give well, Eli Roth another try Cabin Fever.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a yeah, horror yeah, comedy.
And I do want to give Eli Roth another. I know I harshed on that dude, but I need to give him another chance.
Eli Roth, if you're listening,
there could be some redemption.
We would love to have you on the podcast. So come on in.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I actually was able to come up with a fun a tagline to close out with.
Yes.
Here. But actually, I think I had made mention that a quick little shout out to one of our online fans from Romania, I believe, Dorian Ferrariu.
Yeah,
I hope I'm saying your name right. But he's been very active in our Facebook chatter and would love to continue seeing your posts on our site. We really appreciate all the input, and we'd love to have all of our listeners out there rate us and review us, the classic podcast begging line.
Yes.
But we will take you out with a tagline from The Green Inferno.
Oh, no.
And it is simply put for the Scaredy Cat Challenge. Can you handle it?
Thanks you guys for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
And guys, thanks for the challenge, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.